My name is Virgil Chase, Sr. My father was Frank Chase. He was a Mandan Hidatsa Sioux. His father was named Foolish, and he was killed with, there was five Arikara, bear turning, bear going in woods. He was wounded in the service as a U.S. scout. Little Crow, Standing Bear, and Black Shirt were killed. And my father's name was Foolish Wolf, or Mandan. He was killed also. At that time, my mother's side, she was the daughter of Red Bear. Red Bear was born at Fort Clark in September 1853. His father, Red Bear, Red Man, was killed in 1872 at the Fort Lincoln fight. That was described by Strikes Two. And Red Bear, Red Man was born 1793 among the Pawnee. So that's why we derive from the Pawnee. His mother, White Horn, was born in 1837 at Rock Village, about a mile above. It used to be a town called Expansion. Red Bear was a scout. Immediately after his father's death, Red Bear went through the Sundance torture in order to be his father's representative. He enlisted at Fort Stevenson in 1872. His second enlistment was at Fort Lincoln, already described in the narrative, you know. And there he enlisted with Yellow Horse, Red Chief, and Little Soldier, and Little Brave. And they were at the barracks at Fort Stevenson. It was just being completed. And he enlisted at his father's request, and his half-brother, Boy Chief, was already in Fort Lincoln. So that was kind of my grandfather there. He was the judge of the Arikara by Agent Germark in 1915. He married my grandmother, Julia Red Bullneck, in 1896, and he visited Washington in 1910 with Enemy Heart. Alfred Bear was their interpreter, and he got his pension in 1911 through the efforts of Congressman Hanna. So he was a scout with Custer, and there's write-ups on that, and I have his discharge papers. Also have the discharge papers of Boy Chief. The Arikara people are a praying people. We were known, my grandmother told me, we were known for our power in prayer. We could take a person that was completely busted up, his legs and so forth completely smashed by the bison, and they could cover them with herbs, sage, and they'd start the medicine doings, the drums, and they'd pray over him and cover him. And when they took the cover off, he was whole again. They had the power to do that, them days. I attended the last ceremonial meeting that they ever had, and it was pitiful. Everyone was crying. I was a little guy sitting by my grandma's knees, and I'd try to get tired, and I'd try to sleep, and she'd hit me to stay awake. Stay awake, she'd shake me and watch. And I'm glad she did, because I seen all the items that was on display there. And then all the empty spots between where the clans were no longer there. Because we all belong to clans. I'm a member of the Bison Bear Clan. And then I also belong to the Grass Dance Society. The Grass Dance Society, and I'm a staff carrier. And also Eagle Dancer. And as far as the service goes, I was injured. I'm a life member of the disabled veterans, and also a life member of the Vietnam veterans out of Washington, D.C. We moved up from the water came. That was a terrible time. Everyone was leaving and crying. Some of the old people didn't want to go. And we got ready to go, and Mom said to stop at the ceremonial hall, the round hall. She didn't want to forget the stone, the medicine stone, the ceremonial stone. So we stopped there to get it, and my brothers got off, and started to try to pick it up, but they couldn't pick it up. It was pretty heavy to lift it, you know. So Mom went back, and she had a bad knee. She was on a cane. She was elderly, heavy, heavy lady, and she had a hard time getting herself around. But then I noticed she talked to that stone in a different language. It was a clicking sound. I never did get it. It was a clicking sound, and she patted that rock around and lifted it up with one hand like a feather. And placed, I seen this with my own eyes, and put it in the back of the truck. And my brothers looked at each other. None of us said anything.